long time ago now. So in traditional Pakistani roles, we were introduced to each other. It turned out that our families knew each other back in the day and had lost touch. But yeah, so what happens is, first my mum went and approved everything. Then the next weekend I went and was like, yeah, this could work. And then we started talking and courting, and yeah, it was a nice romance.
How long was your courtship?
About a year and a half, 2 years, I think, from introduction to marriage, yeah.
And what was your attitude to starting a family?
We got married pretty young, on purpose, because we wanted to enjoy ourselves first. So we were married about 5 years before we, 4 years before we actually started trying. But, you know, having discussed it, children were always on the agenda. It was a case of let's have some fun, let's build a house, or rather get a property, et cetera, et cetera. And we were at the right stage to start trying.
And tell me about the pregnancy with Mohammed.
I remember when she told me. In fact, I'd just gotten a new job that day or that week. And we actually went out to celebrate. It was a weekday. And she came back. And I think she did a test and sort of came back with a very weird look on her face. And I wasn't sure if something was wrong or right or whatever. And it was just like, wow, a new job and big change there, and an even bigger change with an addition on the way.
And what do you remember about the pregnancy?
I remember thinking about how things are going to change. If I'm honest, I was a bit laid back, not really knowing what to expect. I wasn't one of those fussers or whatever. Shazia does enough fussing for the both of us. So it was, we were loads of other things going on. Because I'd gotten a new job, we were moving from North London to South London. So there was loads going on with that, getting a house. At the time, we were living with Shazia's mum, so it was a bit of upheaval. And if I'm honest, for me, the pregnancy sort of was something that was happening in the background with everything else that was going on. But to be honest, that's how we tend to work, is, you know, we've got X amount of things to deal with. I pick up what suits me type thing, and Shazia picks up what suits her. And I think we work well together that way.
And do you remember anything about the antenatal care? Did you go along to appointments?
Had we started? We had started. If I'm honest, I totally remember the second pregnancy's antenatal, but not necessarily the first.
And what did you know about stillbirth at that time?
Pretty much nothing. It's not something you'd think about. Obviously, you know, they talked about doing the, I can't even remember what the names are, but the injections at a certain stage, just to make sure there's no Down syndrome and things like that. You sort of think about it then, but, you know, it was not anything I'd ever considered at all.
And tell me about what happened when you realised that something was wrong, and how did you find that out?
So I'd been away with work for a couple of days, come back, and it was the weekend, and Shazia was just had just said she hadn't felt some movement. And I, being honest, was not too unduly concerned and just assumed it was normal given our first pregnancy, etc. And for peace of mind, I remember we just thought, well, let's go and have a scan. And even during that first, well, it wasn't even a scan. It's when they sort of listen into the heartbeat. They picked up a heartbeat and I relaxed. And then we sort of realized that was Shazia's heartbeat, not the baby's. And then you start to worry. But again, you know, you sort of think, well, you know, I'm sure everything's okay. So fine, we'll just wait for a scan. And it was when we were watching the scan that we couldn't pick up a fetal heartbeat. That's when, you know, you sort of think, oh my God, this can't be happening. And it was at that point where everything just sort of stopped. And when the sonographer finished and sort of, you know, Shazia was quite distraught, I guess I was in a little bit of shock. And she just sort of said, look, I can't pick up a heartbeat. And I guess they have to do this. She said, I'll have to get someone more senior to check. And that sort of gives you a glimmer of hope, which, thinking about it now in hindsight, I'd rather have just been told, unfortunately, this has happened. But apparently they're not allowed to or whatever. So it just sort of prolonged the agony, if I'm honest. Then I just remember ringing Shazia's mum and my mum in floods of tears and just saying, look, this has happened. Can you please come in now? And within the hour or so, I mean, my mum was all the way in North London at the time, but she got there within a couple of hours. Shazia's mum wasn't far. She got there in half an hour. And yeah, it was just like, you don't really comprehend why this has happened to us. Just astonishment, I suppose, is probably the right word. It was, yeah, everything just stopped.
Do you remember actually how you were told that Muhammad had died?
It was, as I said, so a more senior doctor came and sort of said, yeah, unfortunately, there's no heartbeat. I can't remember exactly what was said, but that was sort of first final that, yeah, the baby has passed away.
You mentioned in a way that you would have liked to have known that straight away. Once you were told, what did you feel?
Just obvious sadness, anger, disbelief still, I think. Certainly for me, was that I just don't understand how this has happened. And again, sort of Shazia, I remember Shazia straight away sort of just saying, what did I do that's caused this? And obviously at that time, you know, there's no medical answers. It's just a case of, you know. Then I suppose the next thing we remember was, and again, this is not something you think about, is that you realise that Shazia would have to deliver the baby. And again, that's just such another massive shock where you're thinking, how the hell are we going to manage this between us? But I have to say that it was at that point where the consultant, who I think we were speaking to at the time who was working, was very good and very explanatory. And I'll be honest, I can't remember the detail, but they did take us through step by step how things would go, what would happen. And then the next thing I sort of remember is just sort of coming home.
You mentioned coming home. What did you do in the time between coming home and going back into the hospital? Do you remember what you did, what you felt?
It it was obviously we have a big extended family, so news started spreading. To be honest, I was mostly on the phone with people's commiserations, well wishes, etc. I think it was only 1 or 2 days. Obviously rang into work. Work were very understanding and just said, take as long as you need. So it's as did Shazia. I'd say I'd started to deal with some grief at that time. Also started thinking about, you know, it certainly, I think it matures you a bit. I mean, I was 29 at the time, maybe. And, you know, sort of started to get my head around a little bit how to do a Muslim burial, which, you know, I'd never really dealt with ever. And there was a few practical things, you know, stuff like death certificates and all that sort of stuff that started dawning on me. I had a lot of help from one of Shazia's family friends who is an Islamic scholar. And again, you know, he sort of helped me just step by step, taught me a few things that I just didn't know. I'm jumping ahead a bit here, but again, it's a bit blurry for me, if I'm honest. Then the next thing I remember is actually going to the hospital for the delivery.
Tell me about that. Tell me going back into hospital. How prepared did you feel for what was going to happen?
Reasonably, I'd say. As I say, they had explained in quite a bit of detail what would happen. Obviously, it was an induced labour. I had no idea what to expect during that. Obviously, it's the first labour I'd seen. How prepared did I feel? I suppose it was a case of you can't really prepare that much for your first labour, be it induced or not. So it was a learning curve. And as again, just sort of thinking about just watching Shazia go through that, knowing that, you know, there's not anything on the other side, that was really tough.
Can you tell me about the labour?
It was, well, what helped, given the circumstances, I think, was they were able to give Shazia morphine. So having been through 3 labours since makes a lot of difference, and she doesn't do epidurals. So it was, I suppose, again, at that time, you sort of, I'd almost forgotten, not forgotten, but put to the back of my mind the reason we were there. It was more of a case of just supporting her through this tough and painful time. And that's what I sort of focused on. And, you know, given the 3 since we've had, it was a lot shorter. But nonetheless, it was a tough experience.
You mentioned about there being nothing on the other side. Can you tell me about at the birth and meeting Muhammad for the first time?
So obviously I remember Muhammad being born. And I must say at this stage, the midwives that were with us were absolutely phenomenal. Really understanding and meeting him for the first time, stuff that I remember looking at his feet and thinking he had Shazia's feet. He looked like me. Um, it was better than I thought it would be, I guess, having not thought about it too much, about what it would be like. I actually remember asking the consultant some questions around what would the baby look like and so forth, you know, given what's happened, and would there be not deformities, but, you know, and being reassured that actually the baby would just look like a very small baby. And that's exactly what Mohammed looked like. And it was surreal, a little, it was tranquil is a better word. When the nurse brought Mohammed out, dressed, you know, with a hat on and stuff like that. And Shazi's mum was with us at that time as well, at my request. And it was like 3-4 in the morning or whatever it was. And there's a few pictures and what have you. Nice is not the right word, but I'm glad we got to see him. And there's a memory there that we saw our first child.
Were you able to hold him?
Yes. I think I held the, not quite the pillow or whatever he was on there. I held him then. And then I bathed him for the funeral, which you do in Muslim culture. So, and that was just me and him and a priest. That was the time, I guess, it was just us two.
And what was that like?
That was the toughest part of all of this for me. That's where, you know, you sort of pass the birth and it's the day of the burial and the funeral, and it's a duty that you need to do. At that time, I guess religion sort of took on a different aspect for me as well. And it was this grief that actually cemented my religion a little bit, whereas I was quite neutral previously. But as I say, maturing and going through that experience, learning what you do when it's your responsibility for the funeral, so to speak. But yeah, that point where we're bathing him, that was the point where I was close to totally breaking down, I must say. But I soldiered through, for want of a better phrase. It was that, as I say, was the toughest time for me personally.
Just taking you back to the time that Mohammed was born, can you just tell me a little bit more about the time that you spent with him?
So the nurse brought him out. And again, I'd sort of go back to this sort of tranquil time where it was just Shazi's mum, me and Shazia. I can't think of the right word, but it wasn't bad. I found it needed. And it was, you know, you sort of, I hadn't, again, not really thought about what it would be like. But as I say, it was better than I think I was expecting it to be, having not really thought that, you know, would it be horrific? And it wasn't. It was almost the opposite. It was important, I think, because it did enable a memory to be formed, which we still hold on to now. And, you know, I can remember the room. I think they call it the lilac suite at hospital. It's something I think we needed to do, and I'm glad we did it.
You made a reference to, I think, photos, or can you tell me about what they did in the hospital and how important it is to have those memories?
At the time, I was not sure about it, but it was a case of, well, if Shazia wanted to do it, then I wasn't going to oppose it. But, you know, they offered a photo service. There was a few other things which I forget that was on offer, again, just to enable some keepsakes and so forth. And for now, in retrospect, it was something that I'm really glad we did, because it is, you know, and we haven't really talked about it, but once the girls are older, I think we will sort of talk about Mohammed and say, you know, that you had a brother and what have you. And if they want to, once they're old enough, you know, we'll let them see the photos.
Tell me about the care that you were offered. You said it was exemplary, but what was it that was so good and that helped you so much?
I think just the level of understanding and support that was available at that time, the sensitivity, the aid, help, just, you know, and since then, obviously, you know, we've had much more positive experiences, especially as it was our first birth as well. And you're in a place where you don't know what's left or right, up or down. It's just, you need people to just sort of hold your hand through things, and that's exactly what they did. And then afterwards, the offer of I've forgotten the word.
Counseling,
exactly. Which I'll be honest, I think I went to one or two sessions, and that helped me make peace with it. Shazi needed more, which was absolutely fine, and we, you know, we had, I think, two or one as a couple, and then I had one on my own, and that just enabled me to get back into, and I think by that time we'd had quite a bit of medical reasons back, or not, as the case was. But we'd gotten to a place where we'd been told that, unfortunately, it was one of those things. And again, that at that time you start to, afterwards, it dawns on you, well, does that mean we can't have children? And again, that's a thought that I'd never want to think about again, or anybody. But, you know, it's just the desperation to have a child. And thinking about, well, if there's something really wrong that you can't, that was creating, certainly in my mind, which I didn't really talk to Shazia about, because it felt as if I was moving on, thinking about the future, whereas she was still dealing with Mohammed's death. But as sort of the consultancy care, which again was exemplary, after the post-mortem and what have you, and just sort of being told that actually we couldn't really find what was wrong, but there's no reason you can't have children. So, you know, I questioned a lot, well, if there's nothing wrong, then why has this happened? However, I did hang on to that there's no reason we can't have children. And I think that helped to get through it all as well.
And was that something that you were able to explore in your counselling?
Yes, to a certain degree. It's quite blurry now. What I remember about counselling was, once counselling had started, I'd actually gone back to work, and was distracted. And obviously work was crazy, so it kept me distracted. I was there for Shazia, but I do remember the sort of counsellor saying, you know, I almost something that I was thinking but not saying was, well, I'm almost over it. And Shazia wasn't. So it really helped me understand her state of mind, which again was very important, because initially I suppose it was just a case of I was in a different place to her, and the counselling helped confirm that. Therefore, we were able to help each other more, whereas had we not had it, it was just we were poles apart, certainly in thinking, and that's not a good place to be.
Can you tell me more about that? Do you think that that was a difference in the way that maybe, you know, men and women grieve? Or, you know, how different is it, do you think, for the father?
I think it's on a case-by-case basis. But whether it's me or whether it's because I'm male, I don't know. I think our relationship has always been that I'm the more practical one, and about me getting on and getting stuff done, whereas Shazia does everything else, and the two work quite well together. And I think that's what happened when we were sort of dealing with the grieving process. As I say, I'd gone back to work. I feel like I'd matured, as I said earlier, around dealing with the burial and the practical things around the death certificate. I'd engrossed myself in the house. Our house was almost ready, so I'd totally taken all of that stuff over. And I suppose my thinking was, well, look, this has happened. It's an awful thing. We're still together. We've gotten through it as far as I was concerned. Let's start looking towards the future. Let's move into our new house that we've worked really hard on. I was 6 months into a new job that was going quite well. Let's look to the future. Whereas Shazia just wasn't ready to do that. And it was the counselling that helped me understand that. So, as I say, without it, we would have been in a much worse place as a couple.
Can I take you back to something you referred to, the post-mortem? Do you remember being offered a post-mortem? And tell me about the decision to have one.
I do. Religious aspects come into play then as well. The stricter Muslims don't do post-mortems and just accept it as the will of God. I wasn't ready to do that. As I say, I was thinking about the future and thinking, well, if this has happened and we need to find out the reason, because does it affect future children? Is there some medicine, you know, could this have been avoided? That's the other thing. And again, thinking about future pregnancies. So for me, it was yes, straight away. And I think Shazia was on the same page as well, because we were desperate to know what happened. So it was an easier decision.
You mentioned earlier about bathing Muhammad for the funeral. Can you tell me about the funeral?
again, it was just snippets that I just remember was gathering at Shazia's grand's house in the morning, and family starting to turn up there, and just I personally was quite distraught at that time. Again, having never done this before, let alone being the father of the deceased. Also at that time, my dad was very ill and was in hospital. And actually during that week, he came close to death. So it was just, albeit this happened a few days after Muhammad's burial. But so that was in the back of my mind that my dad's not here because he was in hospital. Then I remember going to the mosque and sort of during the bathing part, autopilot sort of took over, just taking instructions from the priest about how to do it properly. And once it was all done and Muhammad was, clean and in his bed, that's when I broke down, and just a lot of emotion came out. It was men only, which was quite nice. I didn't really want to do that in front of Shazia, although it's happened since, but you know, it's not that I'm uncomfortable. I just knew that she was also in the same place, and watching someone you love sort of totally break down is difficult. Again, sort of going through that process, you know, can I say it's made me better in certain aspects? I'd say yes. Having done it a few more times since then. It's just life's experiences, you know. But afterwards you sort of think, well, you know, you're not a kid anymore, and this is what life throws at you. So then moving on, I remember during the burial, it was a case of, you know, that's our son sleeping there. Yeah.
What was it like telling other people and, you know, having to deal with people's reactions to that?
I found it impossible to do. To be honest, that was something that the family did, was, you know, my mum, Shazi's mum, was sort of phoning around close family to say this had happened. And initially, I remember sort of we'd said to them, look, we don't want to talk to anybody. And we're getting a few texts just to, you know, people's genuine commiserations. As it branched out from there, one thing I remember is sort of people at work. I'd gone back to work. I went to a trade show and bumped into people that I don't see regularly. And, you know, they're like, well, you know, are you a daddy yet? And sort of saying, no, unfortunately, it went the other way. That was, do you become a bit numb, maybe? I'm not sure. You know, it wasn't a case that I was crying or anything, but I suppose you almost get used to it. But yeah, it's another difficult part of something where you're trying to move on and people are still finding out, and then having to go through, you know, with people that you get along with around, you know, well, what happened, and trying to explain, well, nobody really knows. And trying to put a positive spin on it around, well, it just means that we can you know, we're recommended to that. There's nothing wrong, and we should. There's no reason we can't have children in the future, etc. It got a bit monogamous, and having to repeat the same thing to different people when I was just like, right, it's time to draw a line and get positive. That, and if you're in that frame of mind, is you find it difficult having to go back.
With hindsight, is there anything that you think might have made that time, that period, easier?
Probably nothing major. I suppose that one point which I mentioned previously around, it would have been better if we were just told that Mohammed's died, rather than having to wait another 2-3 hours while another scan is done by a senior consultant. Maybe, I mean, I don't know whether that's protocol and something that they have to do, but, you know, that could have been improved possibly, where I'd rather have just been told there and then. Apart from that, I'd say no, I've got no complaints against the hospital and, you know, the advice and the guidance and support that we received there. If anything, it was just what we needed. And since then, we've supported the neonatal department a lot with charity and what have you, because, you know, we have a personal link now to that place.
I think I meant more in terms of telling people, and, you know, at work or people that you hadn't seen for a while. Is there anything with hindsight that could have made that process easier for you?
I mean, I'm not quite sure what else we would actually do aside from, I mean, you know, again, sort of when it happened, I phoned my boss and within a few days, and, you know, a bouquet of flowers arrived and a card arrived from work, signed by all the colleagues and all that. So everybody knew that you meet regularly. I don't really see how you can tell people that you don't meet regularly who aren't necessarily in touch with, you know, sort of. So that example I gave, that was an external supplier who wouldn't necessarily speak to anybody at work. You know, they only deal with me, so probably not, I'd say.
Did anybody say anything to you that was particularly helpful or that struck a chord in the opposite direction?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a case of, look, with the religious aspect in it, and I think this is certainly what our thinking has been, is that, you know, did it happen for the best? You know, who knows, maybe Mohammed wasn't that well, you know, was he going to have a nice life, and all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, did God do something for the better for us? I'd like to believe so, especially because there was, as I say, no other medical reason that they could find for Mohammed dying. So, yeah, you know, certainly sort of a few of my elders sort of saying that, and me actually listening to it, and that did sort of sit in my, and put a positive aspect on something so horrific. So, yeah, you know, that's where family is very important, and the support of my mum, Shazia's mum, during that time, and just listening to them around these things did definitely help.
And often fathers talk about feeling excluded from the situation, or the care seems to all go to a mother. How included did you feel in everything?
Quite a bit, I must say. As I say, the counselling was, the counsellor sort of saying, look, if you need to talk anymore, if you need any more support, just say. But I'd managed to get to a place where I was content. And therefore, I certainly didn't feel excluded from anything. Me and Shazi have always worked as a team anyway. And again, the counselling sort of helped me understand that she needed more time to deal with it. And again, we established some of that she needs to do on her own. So it was a case of just being there was enough. And in our culture, the father takes a more pronounced role in stuff like the funeral and all of that sort of stuff. So that was all me anyway. So no, I didn't feel excluded.
How do you remember Mohammed now in terms of special days, anniversaries?
On his birthday, which we still call it that, we go to the cemetery. On Eid, which is a religious festival, I'll be honest, I didn't go last time, but previous to that, I've gone by myself. The children don't go yet. Every so often, we'll talk about, and obviously in light of this, we talked quite a lot about it last night, around what the dynamic of the house would have been like had he still been with us. I personally, every so often, just remember holding him. Not very regularly now, I must say, but every so often it will just pop into my head. But, you know, now the memories are not painful. They're memories of him, which, when you think about it, is a positive thing.
How did you feel about getting pregnant again and having more children?
Anxious, certainly the first one. Zara's pregnancy was a tough time for me. I took it a lot more seriously, for want of a better phrase. Not that I didn't take Mohammed's pregnancy seriously, but just was a lot more concerned. And in each of the three pregnancies we've had since then, you know, up until 26, 27 weeks, which is where we got to with Mohammed, those have been quite tough times. And you know, you worry, and every time we do a scan, there's just a split second where, until you see the fetal heartbeat, you're just like, it can't happen again type thing. However, touch wood, you know, thank God, each of the pregnancies, last one got a little ropey, but not too bad, have actually gone very well. And again, I must sort of say the consistency we've had with the consultant and the same sonographer and so forth have been godsends.
So each of the pregnancies was, subsequent pregnancies were different in terms of the way that you felt about them?
Yeah, as I say, you know, I started just so anxious from the start up until, and you know, once you hit the milestones and all that, whereas it wasn't like that at all with Muhammad. So 12 weeks, you know, you sort of right, that's done now, we've just got to, you know, worry and just trying to keep Shazia wrapped up in cotton wool and that sort of stuff. Certainly Zahra's time, the first pregnancy after Muhammad, all the way through, that was an anxious time. I suppose I relaxed a little bit more with the subsequent two. You know, having been through Zahra's, being more anxious, but, you know, I think I relaxed more. Although we sort of still did this exactly the same things and you know, touch wood, there was nothing wrong. But once we'd gotten the first one out of the way, it became a bit more enjoyable, I suppose. And yeah, to, you know, having been to that, I don't know if Shazia mentioned, but apparently I should be a midwife. Because of how good I am during that labour time. So, you know, I was told that every time. So,
tell me a bit more about that.
Just in the first one, I remember we had a midwife and a trainee, and I remember the midwife sort of saying, you really should come and join us. The second one, not so much, but the third one, she was like, well, you're doing my job for me. I don't need to come in anymore. Because she was obviously looking at other women on the ward. And I actually remember just sort of in Hayes' time, Scylla's time, she's sort of saying, just keep talking to her because you calm her. And it's not something I'd thought about previously, but I suppose I did. And yeah, you know, just on a bit of air and gas, She'd gotten through all three labours.
Tell me, really in the light of that, how you feel that, you know, Muhammad has affected your life and your relationship.
My life, I'd say, as I say, it matured me a lot from, and you know, and actually thinking about it now, I'm sure had Muhammad sort of stayed with us, that matures you anyway when you've got, you know, a little person who totally depends on you for everything living with you. It's a case of appreciating the girls so much and being so thankful that we've got three. You know, and I remember we were at a religious gathering at my cousin's house not too long ago, and just sitting around talking about this and God and just, you know, and I was asked sort of just what, put a statement out there to say whether, you know, in your belief. And I thought about it and said, and this is genuinely the case, my belief in God was cemented when we lost one child, but then have been blessed with three. So, you know, it's for what now my thinking is, whatever reason that happened, it did. However, the reward is the three beautiful girls we've got now. So I'm not bitter about that happening. Sad and hurt and, you know, yes, but not bitter.
What do you think is important for people to know about stillbirth?
I suppose a bit more preparation when people do get pregnant. I don't think it was talked about enough, thinking about it, or maybe I just wasn't listening, because I was certainly in that mind frame of, well, it can't happen to us, so I'm not even going to think about it. if and when it does happen, you know, how to get through it and stuff that, like what we're doing now, was something that when Shazia told me about it, I was really supportive of, because if sharing experiences can help it be easier for especially people who, where it's happened to them in their first pregnancy. Not to say that, you know, it's not as devastating on your second, third, fourth, but when it's your first one, it, and you've not been through that process at all of a proper pregnancy, just acknowledging it, I suppose, that it can happen is I think a first important step, because we didn't, or I certainly didn't.
I was going to ask you whether you there was anything during the whole period of Mohammed's pregnancy and his stillbirth, whether there was anything particularly that you're proud of and anything that you particularly regret.
I obviously regret that it happened at all. I regret now that I had a very nonchalant attitude towards the pregnancy, because it was some, you know, a stillbirth just wasn't on the radar. And, you know, thinking about it, even if it was, would it have made a difference? Possibly, we'll never know, I guess. Something that I'm proud of is that me and Shazia made it through it. And, you know, having seen some a really, really low, low time to where we are now, that gives me pride. Dealing with it on various levels makes me slightly proud of myself. And as I say, I think that experience has made me better person, just I'm not sure what the right phrase is, but better. And I suppose that gives me some pride.
You have touched on some things, but I also wondered specifically whether there's anything you'd like to pass on to other bereaved parents. Any advice, any insight?
Have a network of people around you, because be it family, friends, whatever, that is just such a help. Try not to be alone too much. Sometimes you have to, but being alone too much, I think, can just send you on a spiral that you don't want to be at. And you know, if available, do use any of the facilities and the support that is offered from the hospitals and everything else out there, because it really does help. And without it, I don't know where we would have been. So, yeah. And, you know, if and when children do come, then that blessing and that feeling, having lost out the first time, is second to none.